snapped the Dean.
Yo? Said Red Shoe.
Ook.
Was that a yo? Said the Dean suspiciously.
Ook.
Well, all right then. Death sat on a mountaintop. It wasn't particularly high, or bare, or sinister. No witches held naked sabbats on it. Discworld witches, on the whole, didn't hold with taking off any more clothes than was absolutely necessary for the business in hand. No spectres haunted it. No naked little men sat on the summit dispensing wisdom, because the first thing the truly wise man works out is that sitting around on a mountain top gives you not only hemorrhoids, but frostbitten hemorrhoids. Occasionally people would climb the mountain and add a stone or two to the cairn at the top, if only to prove that there is nothing really damn stupid that humans won't do. Death sat on the cairn and ran a stone down the blade of his scythe in long deliberate strokes. There was a movement of air. Three grey servants popped into existence. One said, "You think you have won." One said, "You think you have triumphed." Death turned the stone in his hand to get a fresh surface and brought it slowly down the length of the blade. One said, "We will inform Azrael." One said, "You are only, after all, a little death." Death held the blade up to the moonlight, twisting it this way and that, noting the play of light on the tiny flecks of metal on its edge. Then he stood up in one quick movement. The servants backed away hurriedly. He reached out with the speed of a snake and grasped a robe, pulling its empty hood level with his eye sockets.
"Do you know why the prisoner in the tower watches the flight of birds?" he said.
It said,
"Take your hands off me. Oops."
Blue flame flared for a moment. Death lowered his hand and looked around at the other two. One said,
"You haven't heard the last of this."
They vanished. Death brushed a speck of ash off his robe and then planted his feet squarely on the mountaintop. He raised the scythe over his head in both hands and summoned all the lesser deaths that had risen in his absence. After a while, they streamed up the mountain in a faint black wave. They flowed together like dark mercury. It went on for a long time and then stopped. Death lowered the scythe and examined himself. Yes, all there. Once again, he was the death, containing all the deaths of the world. Except for a moment, he hesitated. There was one tiny area of emptiness somewhere, some fragment of his soul, something unaccounted for. He couldn't be quite certain what it was. He shrugged. Doubtless he'd find out. In the meantime, there was a lot of work to be done. He rode away. Far off, in his den under the barn, the death of rats relaxed his determined grip on a beam. Windlepoons brought both feet down heavily on a tentacle snaking out from under the tiles and lurched off through the steam. A slab of marble smashed down, showering him with fragments, then he kicked the wall savagely. There was very probably no way out now, he realized, and even if there was, he couldn't find it. Anyway, he was already inside the thing. It was shaking its own walls down in an effort to get at him. At least he could give it a really bad case of indigestion. He headed towards an orifice that had once been the entrance to a wide passage and dived awkwardly through it just before it snapped shut. Silver fire crackled over the walls. There was so much life here it couldn't be contained. There were a few trolleys still here, skittering madly across the shaking floor, as lost as Windle. He set off along another likely-looking corridor, although most corridors he'd been down in the last 130 years hadn't pulsated and dripped so much. Another tentacle thrust through the wall and tripped him up. Of course, it couldn't kill him, but it could make him bodiless. Like old one-man Bucket. A fate worse than death, probably. He pulled himself up. The ceiling bounced down on him, flattening him against the floor. He counted under his breath and scampered forward. Steam washed over him. He slipped again and thrust out his hands. He could feel himself losing control. There were too many things to operate, never mind the spleen. Just keeping the heart and lungs going was taking too much effort.
Topiary! What the heck do you mean? Topiary, get it? Yo!
Wook!
Windle looked up through foggy eyes. Ah, obviously he was losing control of his brain, too. A trolley came sideways out of the steam with shadowy figures clinging onto its sides. One hairy arm, and one arm that was barely an arm anymore, reached down, picked him up bodily, and dumped him into the basket. Four tiny wheels.